Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T. from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and we're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Support from the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast comes from Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. And today we've got the Week 11 DFS show, and we're joined by a great guest. It's Britt Devine of Roto Grinders. He's the Grinders Live host, and he's on Twitter at his name, Britt_Devine. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro, and Mike is at Mike Tagliere NFL. Britt, how's it going? Thanks for coming to the show.
It's good. I got the bat signal put up from Mike, and old friends reuniting.
Tags, what's up, buddy?
No, nothing much, dude. This is going to be a weird show for me because it's like you guys. So Britt used to host a show that I did. It's like 3 years ago now, and Britt and I haven't done a podcast in a long time. But I kind of laughed when Britt was going to be brought on because I was like, "How are these two going to handle each other?" Because you guys are both like legit children when it comes to your eating habits. Like Britt is the type of person, Bobby, that will eat ice cream in the morning. He's the type of guy that will stuff himself, whatever. Like, and I have no idea how you guys are.
So he's a happy person. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, you're both in great shape too, so I don't know what happens, but if I like legit, if I eat like as you like you guys do, like one day I gain like 5 pounds.
So Britt, I'm on your Twitter right now and it says Dorito Dust Creator once ate a large pizza in 10 minutes. I'm gonna need you to talk about both these things.
It was not in 10 minutes, Britt. You didn't finish it.
All right, so Dorito Dust is when you make tacos at home. One of the best things you can do is you get the I forget what they are, but they're the purple bag Doritos. I forget exactly what they are. And you grind them up. You know, you take out the rolling pin and you mash those suckers into a very fine dust. And you, salt bay the Dorito dust over your nachos at the top of it.
That sounds phenomenal. This is my kind of guy. I have a question to ask you guys because I saw this the other day on Twitter. And I just have to know if either of you guys have tried it. I'm going to as soon as I can get around a campfire. So s'mores. But instead of Hershey's, you put Reese's on it?
I mean, I'd be down with that. It sounds good.
I'd be down. I have not partook in that particular adventure yet.
Oh, man. We got to do this, guys. That sounds amazing. All right, guys. We're going to get into the meat of the show here in just a little bit. But first, I want to tell you about the DFS optimizer that we have on our site. It's going to save you hours of research. I'm not joking. I used to build like 30, 40, 50 lineups, just one by one, and it took forever. It wasn't even worth it anymore. And then when I realized that this optimizer tool that we offer is great, I just started using it. It took a bunch of time off. I mean, you can generate up to 150 lineups at one time with our multi-lineup generator. And what I like to do is I like to go in there and exclude players that I don't want in my player pool, lock in certain players that I want, and you can set certain exposure limits. So like this week, I'm probably going to put 60 to 90% ownership on Brian Hill. I want to make sure I have him in a ton of lineups, and I want to make sure I have got one or two of certain guys, and setting those exposure limits is going to help you build the types of lineups you want without taking hours to do it. You can check it out at fantasypros.com/optimizer. Let's get into the DFS portion of the show, though. Just to remind you guys, or in case this is somebody's first time listening to the DFS show, we spend about 40 minutes talking cash games. Cash games are, you know, you need to beat 50, 55% of the field to essentially double up your money. So you don't want to take risks. You want to play the safer guys, and it's all about finding that value. Doesn't matter what the ownership is. In fact, if you have higher ownership, you're more likely to win because, you know, people are wisely investing their hard-earned money most of the time. And so if the ownership's high, it's probably a good play. Now we're going to talk about GPP at the end. These are the tournaments where you can win big money. At the very top, you can win like $1 million sometimes. But then if you get down to like number 10, it's like $10,000. So you really need a great contrarian lineup. We'll be talking about that the last 20 minutes. And this is just for FanDuel and DraftKings, the main slate that's going to be happening Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. So guys, let's get into it. We'll start at the running back position. And on the two sides, it's entirely different this week because on DraftKings, you almost have to play Brian Hill. On FanDuel, because of the price point, I mean, you can play Brian Hill, but he's not a lock for my cash game lineup. Would you guys agree on DraftKings? Brian Hill's the way to go. Britt, why don't you start?
Yeah, I mean, Brian Hill, we're going to have a couple of segments where I'm going to be talking about Brian Hill. But how do you look past him this week at his price tag? He's currently sitting at, what, $4,800 on DraftKings. When you get these full workload backup running backs that ascend to the starting role that should see, what, 20-plus touches, he can catch passes. He's got a good matchup against Carolina, who's given up, let me count this, 12 touchdowns to running backs in the past 4 weeks. It is very hard to look past somebody like that on DraftKings. We currently at RotoGrinders have him projected as the highest owned player on the slate over on DraftKings. And, you know, absolute lock smash in your cash games. I'm not opposed to basically putting him in every single tournament lineup. The salaries are a little tough on DraftKings this week, especially if you want to play Michael Thomas and Christian McCaffrey and a couple other guys. So, yeah, Brian Hill, stone cold lock for your cash games on DK, and looks like he's going to be the highest owned player on the slate.
Yeah, we've got Hill's the highest owned player as well. Tags, he's the 25th most expensive running back over on DraftKings, and our consensus projections have him at 10th overall for running backs. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's, I mean, he belongs in cash game lineups. I mean, Britt nailed it in terms of the touchdowns that Carolina's allowed. I talked about it on the Start or Sit show and mentioned that they're allowing a touchdown every 14 carries to running backs, which is just crazy. And there's nobody else in the Falcons roster who can kind of run with that job. And the Falcons do have an out in Devonta Freeman's contract after this year. So they might want to see what they have in Brian Hill and to see if maybe he could be the lead back and they could have Ito Smith come back as the, you know, the running back that he was kind of behind Devonta Freeman. Hill looked really, really good in the preseason. He's got a good matchup in front of him. The Panthers have a lot more to worry about than just Brian Hill. So at 4,800, you kind of have to play him in cash, especially with, you know, we're going to talk about some of the plays that we like this week. And I mean, because as we know, guys, the theme of this show is Christian McCaffrey RB1 no matter what. And, you know, paying $10,500 for him seems kind of ridiculous, but we did it last weekend and it worked. And I'm never going to fade him. So
it sounds like you're playing Christian McCaffrey. Is he your RB2 or RB3, though? Like, who do you have to have in your lineup more? Josh Jacobs, who's an incredible price, great matchup, or Christian McCaffrey against Atlanta?
It's McCaffrey's RB1 no matter what. I mean, I think we've already talked about my three cash game running backs, though. I think that it's Christian McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs, and Brian Hill. Britt, would you agree with that?
That seems to be the consensus from our projected ownership at RotoGrinders. That seems to be the consensus among some people I've talked to, right? Christian McCaffrey, people actively were touting on Twitter not to play Christian McCaffrey last week. I mean, of all the hills to die on, that's the hill you choose to die on, my friends. I mean, that seems rather silly. An absolutely nut matchup this week for McCaffrey. Atlanta, right? They changed their defensive coordinator who was calling the signals, and they almost shut out the Saints. So is that a one-week thing? Did the Saints overlook them? Is this Atlanta defense great? I think we'll get a better read, but it's really tough to not play Christian McCaffrey. And Jacobs looks like an absolutely smash play. Well, at $6,900, nice price right there. And he's going up against Cincinnati. All systems go for Josh Jacobs.
So I mentioned Brian Hill and FanDuel as well. He's 25th most expensive over there, but 25th most expensive is a lot closer to the 10th most expensive on FanDuel. He's $5,900, just to give you an idea. My favorite player, you got to use Christian McCaffrey. Josh Jacobs is $8,000, so you don't have to use him. But for me, I've got Hill, McCaffrey, and my number one running back over there is Leonard Fournette. He's just $7,200. He gets Indianapolis, 9th most expensive. In Indianapolis, it's not like a great matchup or anything, but we're talking about a guy who's getting 20 to 30 touches every single game. He's coming off the bye. I mean, I don't love the matchup, as I mentioned, but at 7,200 on FanDuel, I kind of think you have to play him.
I saw that price for him. I'm not a big fan of playing running backs against Indianapolis. They're really like decapitating in terms of like what they take away. We don't know how Foles is going to target him in the passing game, and that could be a detractor for me. There's a little bit just too many variables with that matchup where, honestly, in FanDuel, I would rather play Ezekiel Elliott at 84. I mean, Elliott's been like trash for the majority of the year in terms of like what he's done on a point per dollar. But
he also hasn't played Detroit yet, though.
Right. And that's why it's like I even contemplated, but I keep smacking my every time. It's like I have this fake hand at my desk, and it smacks me in the face every time I think about playing a running back over Christian McCaffrey, which I actually thought about it with Ezekiel Elliott this week. So if for whatever reason you're like, tags, I can't do it. I can't get up to 10,500. And if you're like, you just can't find a way to do it. I think Ezekiel Elliott is a guy that's in an absolute smash spot. He might be a better tournament play, but I think he's fine in cash too.
Britt, when I started building my lineup, I was like, okay, Brian Hill, definitely. Christian McCaffrey, definitely. And then I put Ezekiel Elliott in there because of the matchup against Detroit. But I come to find out that difference in $1,200 between Elliott and Fournette, I can't afford it because I have to use Michael Thomas. Would you rather fade a guy like Michael Thomas, pristine matchup, just incredible every single week, or would you rather fade that, you know, top tier running back in an incredible matchup and go down?
I think I'd take Fournette with Michael Thomas. It's really tough to not play Michael Thomas. You know, on DraftKings, it's a little tougher, right? He's very expensive. But on FanDuel, you know, how do you pass up the best wide receiver against the absolutely worst offense who just shipped out, you know, Vernon Hargraves? They just straight up cut him. I mean, this is just going to be an absolutely smash spot for Michael Thomas this week. So if you can get him, you want to play him. And I actually like Fournette quite a bit this week. I'll talk about him later.
Okay, guys. So, you know, we talked about three or four running backs. Typically, when we do cash games, we cover seven or eight just because, you know, not that we're really considering seven or eight, but because there are seven or eight running backs that a lot of people are thinking about. And we just want to talk about them. Now, Tag, do you see anybody who fits that description, who is a running back that, you know, might see 10, 15, 20% ownership that guys are excited about for cash games? Maybe you would steer them away. Maybe they're not such bad plays, just not as good as Josh Jacobs.
Not really. I think it's going to be like a very narrow week in terms of cash game running backs and what people are going to use. Like Kamara came down in price, and I really do wonder how many people are going to play him at 7,400 on DraftKings, because it's a price that we don't see very often with Kamara. And people see Tampa Bay, and they still tie them to a bad defense, even though they've been a really good run defense this year. I think Kamara is a fantastic tournament play. I'm curious to see his ownership, honestly. Britt, what do you guys have Kamara projected for this week, ownership-wise?
This is the early run. This is before I think a lot of the manual adjustments come in later in the week. That usually happens Friday and Saturday. But Kamara's currently sitting 12%. These are tournament projections as well. Basically, consider if you're playing like the millionaire maker on DraftKings, that's sort of what our ownership projections are kind of tailored to. But he looks like he's a clear step below Josh Jacobs in ownership. So I like Kamara. You always got to worry a little bit about the run game, but the pass game should certainly be there. He didn't really have too many rushes last week. Still had himself a reasonable game, not the high end we come to expect from Kamara. But I always worry, right, with him, do you want to play Josh Jacobs, who's going to get all the rushing touches, or Leonard Fournette, who's going to get every single touch, or do you want to play Kamara, who's at best in probably, what, a 70-30 split? And, you know, you got Drew Brees, who likes to distribute the ball around. So I think I'd play Jacobs, especially with the game script that should be favorable to him. But Kamara is certainly a viable tournament play.
Yeah, we've got Kamara at 10% as well. A couple other guys who...
I got a couple guys for us.
Okay, yeah, let's hear it.
I want to throw out Tevin Coleman without Matt Breida against Arizona. He's 6,100 on DraftKings. If you can't make something work, if you can't get Jacobs and McCaffrey into your lineup, maybe you go from Jacobs to Tevin Coleman. I would much prefer Jacobs, but I think Coleman should have himself a pretty good game against Arizona. And then... you know, if this injury situation plays out in Detroit, I think we can take a look at PPR master J.D. McKissic with a check down Driscoll throwing him the football. He's 4,600. Can be a little interesting to me.
Man, I would feel bad about putting McKissic in my lineup. But you know what? I think it is safe. What's he need to hit? 10, 11 points?
Yeah, you generally want more. But I mean, I think he's basically there. And just in the PPR upside, anything you get on the ground is gravy. God forbid he falls into the end zone. I mean, there's ways for him to have a reasonable game.
Yeah, Tevin Coleman, I want to go back to that one just because I don't know if Matt Breida missing the game really changes much, because Raheem Mostert is virtually the same player. I would imagine he's going to get the same touches. And Tevin Coleman the last 2 weeks, it just scares me a little too much. Now, I know you're not playing Tevin Coleman, but if you wanted to go down, I wonder about Devin Singletary against Miami. I mean, he's quite a bit more expensive over on DraftKings, $6,000. But going to get up against Miami, how many touches do you think he's going to get, Tags?
Singletary, I'm anticipating 15 plus touches for him in this game. I do like him, but I mean,
a guy like him, 15 touches against a defense like Miami.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and he has breakaway potential too. It's not like he's a Frank Gore type running back where he can break a few plays. They use him in the pass game a little bit. So, I mean, I don't mind Singletary. I'm not using him in cash though. He's not even like in consideration. If you want to play him in tournaments, that's fine, but I wouldn't play him in cash.
He's way down in ownership after his bust week last week. So, ultimate tournament flop lag play, as we like to call it, from, you know, those of us that used to play poker, is going to be Singletary this week.
Now our model's spinning out a different name on both sides. Dalvin Cook, number 5 value on DraftKings, and then number 2 value on FanDuel. He's 8,600, so $200 more expensive than Zeke. He's been a lot better this year. This is a run funnel defense going up against Denver. Dalvin Cook's been so great. Would you consider playing him over Ezekiel Elliott, Tags?
No, I have Zeke ranked over him in like our season long rankings. Basically, the reason I don't is because this reeks of a game where they're going to use Alexander Mattison in, and they're going to split up that workload a little bit. Not to say that there's not some work to go around, but Denver is a really good defense. Like, people like continually undervalue them. I think they might be the number 3 defense in football right now. So they're only allowing 18.9 points per game. They do bring pressure. They didn't generate sacks at the beginning of the year. They've gotten better as the year's gone on under Vic Fangio. So, I mean, the only game really they got crushed against the run was against Leonard Fournette. And if you remove that Fournette game, like, that was the game where Bradley Chubb got hurt and they probably just weren't prepared for much. But outside of that game, it hasn't been like a matchup that like you would crush. Like, Austin Eckler racked up some catches in it. I just feel like Ezekiel Elliott can smash.
And also, it's not like Brandon Allen's going to play keep up with the Minnesota Vikings.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying I think it reeks of a game where they're probably going to involve Madison a little bit. It's not to say that Dalvin Cook's a terrible player or anything. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying at the cost they are, I'd rather play Zeke.
Britt, would you agree Zeke over Cook?
Very close. You know, they just, Dallas offense is very unoriginal. If you look at the NFL next gen stats, right, they're literally paying Zeke, you know, millions and millions of dollars to just run up the, or directly behind the center over and over and over again. It's not a really amazing offense to me. Now, you know, the matchup's pretty good this week. I'll give you that. Maybe a couple short fields if Driscoll turns the ball over. But I mean, Dalvin Cook is good. That offense is good. With Adam Thielen probably not playing, I don't know. I like Cook over Zeke straight up.
I like him a little bit straight up, but the difference in price, again, it makes him about even for me. I'm not using either of them. I'm going down, like I mentioned, and getting Leonard Fournette. All right, on over to wide receiver here in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about a contest we have going on. We're giving away a signed Dak Prescott Cowboys helmet at fantasypros.com/contest. And basically, here's how you can enter, okay? You leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher, then just take a screenshot and send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. Again, if you want details for that, fantasypros.com/contest. And that comes to us thanks to Pristine Auction and all of you guys going to their site and signing up and saying, hey, I was sent your way by Fantasy Pros. So when you go to their site, it's free to register. Just register, enter that registration code, Fantasy Pros, all one word. It's going to help us so we can do future contests, and it's going to give you $5 off your first item that you win. And you're going to want to look around at their site because there are so many values to be had. Everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. And there are so many options that you're bound to find something that you love for your cave, and that's a good value. Check out pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. Guys, let's move on over to the wide receiver position, and we'll start with Michael Thomas. Now, Britt and I already talked about him. He's $9,000 on FanDuel. That's really pricey, but in our model, we've got something that you'll see if you're looking at our cheat sheet. It's called CPP, cost per point, so $420 per point. That is extremely good on FanDuel. Like, the next best, DJ Moore at $477. Now, over on DraftKings, it's the same. Michael Thomas is at the top of our value leaderboard. Now, it's closer between Thomas and Moore, who's number 2, 379 to 387. But Michael Thomas, even at $9,900, do we have to use him, Tags?
I don't think you could use Michael Thomas and McCaffrey on DraftKings, so I'm probably not going to have Michael Thomas, to be honest with you. And it's scary. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, you could. You just got to go like stupid cheap, like Hunter Renfro, Demaryius Thomas.
I want to play Lamar Jackson, so I'm not going to be able to play all those guys. Honestly, I will take the $4,000 discount and go down to DJ Moore, who I think can project for a lot of points in this game. Like,
I mean, yeah, I'm using DJ Moore too, but like, give me, I have to have Michael Thomas against Tampa. He's going to score 26 points.
Right, but that's where it comes down to. It's like, where are you cutting your salary then? Because DJ Moore is like a mid-price receiver. He's not a low price. He's not like a guy that you're looking at $4,500, $4,600. It's $59. So you're in that mid-tier with him. So it's not like crazy discount. That's the thing, is if we want to play Josh Jacobs, we want to play McCaffrey, and it's just like looking at the salary, someone's got to get cut. And Michael Thomas, I've been burned in cash games paying up for big price receivers. You're paying for him to score 25 points. And if he doesn't hit that number, it's a disappointment.
Yeah, but it's PPR. Like, he's locked in for 8 or 9 receptions, maybe 15.
I got news for you. He's going to score 25 fantasy points.
Yeah. He should. I'm with you. He should. He crushes Tampa Bay every single time, and they're as bad as they've ever been. I get it. But Atlanta, I mean, Atlanta is a worse secondary right now than Tampa Bay is.
I think you can project Michael Thomas and Christian McCaffrey for like exactly the same sort of fantasy production this week. Now, there's always cheaper wide receivers that have good production, so I would always lean the running back, and Christian McCaffrey's doing things we haven't really seen in fantasy for a while, basically since DFS has been invented, in terms of consistency and upside. But Michael Thomas, this is the nut matchup. Hard to play CMC and Michael Thomas, and with, you know, you mentioned DJ Moore. There's a couple other value receivers. I don't know if Thomas is going to make my cash team.
Interesting. Okay. So who are some guys that you're eyeing for cash? Like Debo Samuel at 4,000. Is he a good play?
Are you reading my mind here? So Mike took DJ Moore. All right. There's a lot to like out of him. He's getting a lot of targets. The yards after catch look pretty good. His skill set fits really good with Kyle Allen in these, you know, short to intermediate throws, a little bit less so with Curtis Samuel on the deep throw. So I like DJ Moore quite a bit. You got Debo Samuel without George Kittle out there. It's against Arizona. I like Debo coming out. You know, he's had a couple of big games, had the breakout game last week. I'm looking for him at 4,000 to be a pretty large part of my teams. Another guy I'm looking at, I know Mike was a little timid on what to expect from Nick Foles, but BDN, he likes his slot receivers, and we've got D.D. Westbrook's pretty cheap this week, playing all the slot snaps. I think he's pretty interesting. Those are some of the top of the guys I'm looking at this week for cash.
I'd love to use Debo Samuel this week. On FanDuel, he's not a great price, so I can't imagine using him. But on DraftKings at 4,000, I think he's got to be locked. In fact, I'd rather start my lineup with Debo Samuel at wide receiver than Michael Thomas. That's how good I feel about this price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it too. I don't know if I'd start Debo over Michael Thomas, but I understand what you're for with the lineup construction this week. You know what you want to do in cash games, right? I've been playing cash games for 7 years, right? And I play some tournaments too. But you want, you know, the high floor players. You want your opponents to make mistakes against you. So we take the high workhorse every down running backs. Those are the most consistent things in DFS. And then you can mix in wide receiver value. Basically, every wide receiver other than I think Michael Thomas has a floor of, you know, 2 or 3 catches in a game or something like that. And that's just not going to get it done. So if you're going to take a little bit of risk and take on some of the variance, it's usually better to take that on a receiver.
Tags, what do you think about D.D. Westbrook and Debo Samuel this week?
Well, D.D. Westbrook was considered like a guy that everybody wanted to play back in week one with Nick Foles because they talked about the slot receiver, but I don't think anybody realized just how good DJ Chark was going to be and how involved Leonard Fournette was going to be in the passing game. And D.D. Westbrook, by the way, was a bust that entire game. He caught a touchdown late, and it was from Minshew, not Foles. If he didn't score that touchdown, he legit like would have had like maybe like 3-4 points. So I'm a little hesitant. It is a zone defense in Indianapolis. So there should be a lot of underneath stuff. That's why they allowed a lot of production to tight ends.
And Foles gets crushed by the zone, as you've mentioned.
But here's my issue, though, is that like, why not go to Auden Tate at 4,200 rather than Debo Samuel at 4? Like, so Tate has shown that the floor of targets, like he's getting 6 targets every game, no matter what. And he's shown like 12 targets in a few of them games. It's like to play Debo Samuel, I understand it. I really do. But haven't we already seen what we're hoping for out of Debo Samuel in Auden Tate?
Why don't you just spend another 1,000 and play Tyler Boyd, who has 8, 9, and 14 targets, right? 52.
Oh, I'm playing Boyd at 52, dude. Like that's like he's.
Oh, you like Boyd over Tate, huh?
Oh, I would play Boyd if I actually might play both, but Boyd at 52 is like a lock. I have him in wide receiver 2 territory, like a solid wide receiver 2. So to see him priced at 5,200, like a guy that is locked into targets against Oakland, who already sucked against slot receivers, are now without LaMarcus Joyner. I don't know what they're going to do in terms of like how they're going to shift around their cornerbacks, but they don't really have very much talent on that roster. Boyd played like he actually played pretty well last week with Ryan Finley, better than what he did with Andy Dalton in the Baltimore matchup. So, yeah, Boyd at 5,200, he's kind of like he's a cash game guy for me.
Yeah, if you didn't like Didi, right, I think you could play more Boyd and Samuel. I know you didn't like Samuel too much, Mike, but you can make that wide receiver core work pretty well. You get Christian McCaffrey, you get a good quarterback, you got all the running backs that you want. So those are probably the main focus of my cash wide receivers this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of cheap mid wide receivers this week that make a lot of sense to play. Over on FanDuel, John Brown is one of them, 5,900. He gets Miami. So he's the 26th most expensive wide receiver. We project him for 10th. DJ Chark, 25th most expensive wide receiver. We project him for 9th. And I love Terry McLaurin this week against the New York Jets, 37th most expensive wide receiver. We project him for 18th. Brett, why don't we start with you? How do you feel about a couple of these guys, Chark, Brown, McLaurin?
I mean, I like them all. Maybe not so much Brown. I'm a little worried. I mean, if you are going to beat a team deep, it's got to be Miami. But I think
double-digit PPR points in every game this season.
Yeah, four. He's got 50 yards and 4 receptions in every game, and the only other person to do that, I think, is Michael Thomas. So I mean, you're actually getting consistency out of John Brown. We just haven't hit the ceiling too often on him. But I think McLaurin is probably not a cash game play to me. Maybe on FanDuel, right? Because what did you say? He was like the 37th highest wide receiver.
37th highest. Yeah, he's $5,500. So he still needs to hit, 14 points. And how often has he done that? He didn't do it against Stephon Gilmore. He didn't do it against the 49ers, the Bills, and Tre'Davious White, Minnesota. But besides that, I mean, those are 4 really tough matchups. He's had some other tough matchups too. Dallas, he went for 15. Chicago, he went for 16. And then he crushed, obviously, Philadelphia and Miami. I think this is more in line with Philadelphia and Miami going up against the Jets this week.
I mean, Darius Slayton's running wild against the Jets, and you got to think Terry McLaurin's going to be. I like Slayton a little bit, but I think McLaurin has the skill set to just absolutely demolish what the Jets are doing. The problem is Haskins ready to step up and be an NFL quarterback?
No.
that's the one problem. But I mean, if there was ever a time for Haskins to look good, it's got to be this week. So I can definitely, I definitely get aboard McLaurin on FanDuel.
Tags, any other cash game plays you want to talk about?
I hit on most of them. I honestly don't think that, like, if you're looking really cheap, I think Russell Gage at 3,300. Like, if you're looking for, like, almost a min price receiver, Gage is not bad. Carolina, James Bradbury, Julio Jones, Dante Jackson, Calvin Ridley. I mean, Ridley can burn him all day long, but Gage is someone that's walked into the Mohamed Sanu role in this offense. He's seen 14 targets over the last 2 weeks without Austin Hooper over the middle of the field, without Devonta Freeman over the middle of the field. It's like I could see a lot of PPR points for Gage. And at 3,300, that's it. Again, if you're one of those people that wants to play McCaffrey and Michael Thomas and, get some of these bigger names in your lineup, you're going to have to find some cheap options. So at 3,300, it's going to be tough to find a wide receiver that's guaranteed, 5-6 targets. And I think Gage is locked into that.
I'm just concerned that with James Bradbury and William Jackson both being banged up, that Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley eat and Russell Gage is left in the dark.
So are you going to stack Matt Ryan with Julio and Ridley?
We'll talk about that when we get to GPP.
I don't think it's a bad idea.
Because a lot of people are going to look at Carolina and they're going to say, well, they're just going to run the heck out of the ball because it's Carolina. But with the secondary being banged, I think you can do both against Carolina. I think that they're going to choose to pass because they're going to be behind. Carolina's a 5.5 favorite. I could definitely see Matt Ryan having a huge game with both those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I want to say that they're 2 of the faster-paced teams in neutral game scripts, too.
Any other wide receivers that you want to mention for cash games? Maybe you're not even considering them, but you think, they might not be the worst plays this week.
I wouldn't laugh at anybody if they wanted to play Cortland Sutton. The dude is stupid good, man. He's 6,000 on DraftKings, but I mean, so you need like 15 points out of him to hit value in cash. I went back and I watched that game. Brandon Allen's not very good, but
no, he is not.
Cortland Sutton, they're using him in a variety of different ways, getting the ball in his hands, letting him do work after the catch. He's a big man, and that touchdown that he scored was like Randy Moss-esque. Like, that was the dude. Like, I'm done doubting Cortland Sutton. Like, if he can get it done in the game where Brandon Allen looked like that, throwing 20 pass attempts, he saw a 40% target share in a matchup like this. I won't fault anybody for it. I'm not doing it myself, but I won't fault anybody for it.
Dang, look at his game log, too. So much consistency. I did not realize that.
No, he's been with Flacco and Brandon Allen, dude.
Yeah, that's interesting. Britt, any names you want to throw into the conversation?
Tag stole mine with Gage. He was on mine. He's on my list as the cheap wide receiver if you want to do something funky and get all the stars into your lineup, or you want to play Lamar Jackson with Christian McCaffrey and do things like that. The target floor, it's not sexy, but you know, I think he's probably going to get somewhere in the 5 to 8 targets. And if he catches, you know, what, 60% of them or something like that, just gets you enough to get it done. And then the star power, if it comes through for you, is what really takes you over the top there. So that was my one main addition.
Sure. Yeah, I want to mention this on FanDuel. There is no decent play under $5,000. If you're going cheap, it's Auden Tate. I mean, everybody's in that range, $5,000 to $6,200. So if you've got to save some money, I think you're going to have to get 2 or 3 wide receivers in that range rather than going really cheap like you can over on DraftKings. And I agree. I was going to mention, if you guys didn't, Russell Gage at 3,300 is a great play. Demaryius Thomas against Washington has my eye as well. All right, guys, we've got a few more cash game positions to talk about. Then we'll circle around and go GPP. But first, I already mentioned Manscaped at the beginning of the show. Jingle balls to the wall, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubic hair? Let's just cut to the chase. It's a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. You know, I've been doing these Manscaped reads here for a couple months, and I've had a bunch of people write in and be like, oh, this is no joke. I have definitely cut myself. One guy was like, I cut myself when I was in college, and I just kind of stopped keeping up on it because I didn't want to cut myself again. And then I heard the read, and I was like, oh, I should probably do that again. And he cut himself. So you know what he did? He went and he ordered the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0, and he said it was great. There's not going to be any trouble with his family jewels. That's why the revolutionary company Manscaped has redesigned their electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has advanced skin-safe technology, so that trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower if you want. The Lawnmower 2.0 comes inside their Perfect Package 2.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. And don't use the same trimmer in your face as you're using in your balls. Come on, guys, that's nasty. The Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0 also comes with a crop preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant in your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You stink down there. Speaking of sweaty and stinky balls, I'm thankful for the Crop Reviver, the product along with a crop preserver. Keep your balls from sweating, smelling, and sticking. And these products smell good. Their manly scent is attractive and is going to help set the mood, if you know what I mean. The perfect package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep your junk smelling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those used pair of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxer briefs. Tis the season of Manscaped, so get yourself, or your dad, or your brother, your friends, the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANTASYPROS at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANTASYPROS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code FANTASYPROS. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. Let's go to the quarterback position, and this is for cash games as well. Tags, you mentioned Lamar Jackson. You're spending all the way up for Lamar Jackson?
Well, this sucks, dude. I'm looking at a lineup right now, and I put in McCaffrey, Jacobs, Brian Hill, and then at wide receiver, I didn't even go big. I went DJ Moore, Tyler Boyd, Gage. Okay, and then if I do, even if I play the $1,500 Cardinals defense and then play Lamar Jackson, it leaves me like $4,200 for a tight end, which is not good.
Not this week, it's not.
Yeah, I have to figure out what I'm doing here. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's so early in the week.
So you're playing Kyle Allen.
That's my only other option. I have him down on my sheet, actually. I have 2 cash game options that I'm considering. It's either I go up to Lamar Jackson or I go down to Kyle Allen. And I want to play Lamar Jackson so bad. I know people say that quarterback doesn't matter, but it matters when they're scoring 30 points. It does.
Well, I mean, you get a quarterback and a running back. Come on.
It's 7,700. I feel like Lamar Jackson should cost you $8,500 this week.
The $7,700 price tag, that's the highest price tag for a quarterback on DraftKings this year, by the way. So you are paying for it, but how do you argue against him this week against Houston? It's, you know, you look at some of the statistics. Houston's allowing the 6th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. I do a lot of work with PFF. They're 25th in pass grade coverage, 25th in tackling grade, and they got back-to-back horrific pass rush grades as well with J.J. Watt out. I mean, you got shootout potential in theory. That Baltimore defense is looking pretty good with the addition of Marcus Peters. They got 3 pretty decent cornerbacks now, but it's just really hard to see Lamar Jackson failing. The problem is, I think there's Kyle Allen, who I think is just going to be end up being one of the chalkier cash game pieces of the week because he's 5,300. It's against Atlanta, DraftKings. Outside of Christian McCaffrey, there's no respect for anybody on Carolina and their pricing the entire season. So DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Kyle Allen, Greg Olson, they are all in play for cash games, in my opinion. The one guy I wanted to mention to you, Tags, that I like, if you can't get Lamar Jackson and you want a good quarterback, I think is Dak Prescott this week. Is 6,700. Ultimate inconsistency. This Detroit defense is pretty trash. There's a lot of good things going on for Dak. You can throw deep on Detroit, and the Dallas offensive line gives you time to throw deep. And when Dallas has been throwing deep, they've had some good results. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Mitchell Trubisky threw for 3 touchdowns last week against the Lions.
On like 17 passes.
Yeah, if that can happen, I think Dak is the ultimate cash game play. Unlikely to fail. He's failed once this entire season, basically, at the quarterback position. And I think 6,700, if you need sort of the mid-tier, he looks like the guy if you can't get up to Jackson.
My only concern with Dak is that it's a Zeke game, that because it's very possible that Zeke runs for 3 touchdowns and Dak is efficient and he's fine, but he might, like, you know, he might throw for 200 yards and 1 touchdown. It could be one of those games for Dak, and that's my concern. It's like Dallas needs a win. They're going to go on the road. They need a win. They want to walk out of that. It's like, just, they don't need to throw the ball very often against Driscoll if Driscoll is the starter there.
I'm not sure. I'm going to talk about Driscoll in a little bit.
I was going to mention him too, and I knew Tags was going to laugh at me, but at that price, like, he's probably going to hit value, guys.
Are you going to play him in cash?
I'm not playing him. I'm saying you could consider him.
If I ran into somebody who had him in cash, 4,100 last week, that was the time to do it, right? Against Chicago, the 4,600 still takes a little bit of a luster, you know, shine, whatever they call it, whatever I'm trying to say here.
And the matchup against Dallas is not good.
Yeah, look what you, it's not good, but he's going to throw the ball. He's got amazing targets all over the field, right? Kenny Galladay, a man amongst boys.
He runs too.
Yeah, Driscoll can run. He's got Marvin Jones and Hawkinson's good. He's got dump off options and Amendola and McKissick. You put all that together. All he has to, if he throws for 1 passing touchdown, he's going to hit value for you this week between the rushing and the passing and the attempts. And if they get down and if they happen to stay in the game, I'm going to imagine Driscoll probably has 2 touchdowns passing and probably to Kenny Galladay. You know, when you have really good weapons around you, and you have a little bit of rushing upside as a quarterback. I know he's not like good NFL quarterback, but we play fantasy over here, and I think he can get it done for us.
Tags is pulling his hair out. I can just see it.
I am so not down.
I'm going to play Kyle Allen, but if you had a lineup you loved, and it had Jeff Driscoll, and you got McCaffrey and Michael Thomas, and everything else looks good, and I ran up against you, I would be like, you know what? I don't think this guy's a bet.
Yep.
But you won't see me doing that just for Christmas.
I'm not going to do it either. I'm just throwing it out there.
Over on FanDuel, guys, I really like Derek Carr's price point. He's only $200 more expensive than Kyle Allen. The matchup might even be better against Cincinnati, and I think Derek Carr is a superior quarterback to Kyle Allen.
We actually have Derek Carr. This is the early run off an algorithm, and I don't know what goes into it. I don't have any part in that. But we have Derek Carr currently as the highest owned quarterback on DraftKings this week. I think that's not going to be the case.
On DraftKings?
Yes. By the time that gets said and done at 6,100, I know you're talking FanDuel, but that little mid-tier price, we'll talk about tournaments, right? If you're fading Josh Jacobs in tournaments, if all those turn into passing touchdowns, look out for Derek Carr.
Oh, wow. I think I'd rather play Matt Ryan. He's just $100 more expensive.
I mean, yeah, Oakland doesn't throw the ball a lot, and Derek Carr offers absolutely nothing with his legs. Like, basically, like, he needs to have a 300-yard, 3-touchdown game for you to hit value. And
he hasn't done that in a long time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think, like,
ever. He hasn't got 300 yards all season.
No, he hasn't thrown more than 32 pass attempts since week 3. And Josh Jacobs is running well against the Bengals. I mean, there's a reason that teams don't throw very much against the Bengals, because they can't tackle.
Yeah, give me like Winston, give me Ryan.
So many players I'd play over Carr. I don't think Carr's like a terrible play in season-long leagues or whatever, but I don't think that he offers a sky-high floor, and I don't think he offers much of a ceiling either. I don't get that one.
Quarterback's kind of rough this week, especially with how much money we have to work with. Let's go on over to the tight end position, which is even worse.
Do we have to?
It is so disgusting this week.
I think it's Dwelly and Log Off. Is that right?
I mean, maybe on DraftKings. I'm not spending, what is it, $5,000 for him on FanDuel.
Dwelly's 34 on DraftKings. I mean, I don't even know about that one.
I don't think it's a bad play.
He's 4,900 on FanDuel, guys.
To be honest, though, I think we can say Ebron, 36, probably a good play, Cash.
How many touchdowns is he dropping this week?
Probably two, and he's still going to catch one. No, I mean,
he had 12 targets last week.
No, well, that's the thing. With T.Y. Hilton out of the lineup and with Paris Campbell out of the lineup and them releasing Deion Kane for whatever friggin' reason, all of a sudden it's like Ebron was like a full-time player, and it's like they're treating him like a wide receiver. So it's like a 3,600, a guy that's locked into quite a bit of targets at the tight end. I mean, really, what are you going to do? I'd love to pay up for 5,500 for Darren Waller, but I'm not going to do it.
What do we think about Waller? Let's have a little talk here, because
I love Waller this week.
Man, if I could get Waller in my lineup, I'd be so pumped. I might just have to make it happen.
The target share is dropping, right? If they get up, I mean, like, can they get a defensive touchdown? Like, there's ways where Waller gets like six targets in this game, and I don't know. He's sort of like fading a little bit. I'm not too thrilled on him.
Well, he faded like I've mentioned about the pass attempt, like in terms of where the targets have gone. But against the Bengals, like when teams target the Bengals with their tight ends, they're allowing 9.79 yards per target. So even if he gets six targets, it could be five catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. I'm not playing him in cash because I can't find a way to get up to 5,500. And that's why I think it's like Ebron, Dwelly are the ones that I'm considering down there.
Let me give you who the chalk tight end is going to be this week.
Is it Jason Witten?
No, it's not Jason Witten. It's going to be, I think Jared Cook is going to draw a lot of attention this week. At 4,400, he's basically in the in-between. You can make some good lineups with him. 10 targets last week, probably, you know, I'm not expecting 10 targets. But if Arizona didn't exist, we'd be talking about tight ends against Tampa Bay. They're pretty horrible. And this is the Michael Thomas, the Alvin Kamara, the Jared Cook show. These are the guys Drew Brees, I think, has the most trust in, instead of, you know, trying to figure out, is Traquan Smith an actual viable play, or is Ted Ginn get a catch or drop his one long touchdown possibility this week? I think it goes to Cook, and he's sort of like this mid-tier guy. And if you just can't get to him, I like Olsen. I like that whole Carolina offense. He's pretty involved, and, you know, his little short intermediate throws, that's what really Kyle Allen is at least halfway decent at. So I think he's another reasonable option.
It's gross, guys. I would love to get Darren Waller. I think that I'm very likely going to be playing Greg Olsen against Atlanta.
I don't know, man. I hate tight end. I really do. But
OJ Howard breakout. He's running routes and playing snaps. So how about that at 36?
He played a ton of snaps. Like they jumped massive. I mean, New Orleans has been really good against tight ends in recent memory. Last year, they were like one of the best teams in the league against them. They're still good against them this year. But the loss of Lattimore, I don't mind OJ Howard in tournaments. If you want to play him in tournaments, I don't mind it, but not in cash.
Guys, talk me off the ledge, okay? FanDuel's site minimum, Dawson Knox against Miami.
I don't mind it.
You could do worse.
Oh, man. I was really hoping you guys would help me out. Am I playing Dawson Knox this week?
No, when Tyler Kroft came back, it's like all of a sudden it was like, oh, we're going to cut his snaps again. It's like, oh, no, don't do that. Because Knox, he makes some plays, man. Like, he's still a rookie. He's making some mistakes, too. But against Miami, I went back and watched that game because I wanted to see how Knox looked against them the last time, because I want to say that I propped him up. And he actually dropped two balls in that game that – oh, one right down the seam that would have gone for like a 30 plus yard gain. And I'm like, and slowly, actually, now that Kroft's back, it's like they're slowly fading him and they're moving back to Knox. And I'm like, if you're going to play him, this is the matchup. So I don't think it's a bad one.
I've got two more at DraftKings I think are a little sneakier. And most people don't play tight ends in timeshares, but I got two of them and they're back to back in price on DraftKings this week. So we got Goddard for Philadelphia, 3,200. No Deshaun Jackson. Alshon Jeffrey's banged up a little bit. You're going to see a lot of two tight end sets, I think, from Philadelphia this week.
He's playing three times as many snaps as Mark Andrews.
Yeah, so, well, snaps don't, when Mark Andrews is on the field, there's a direct, it leaves Lamar Jackson's arm and it goes directly to Mark Andrews. Like, it's just a connection there. And the other guy's Irv Smith without Thielen. You probably don't know this, but 6-6-3-6 targets over the past couple of weeks for Irv Smith. Hasn't gotten into the end zone. If he got into the end zone in any of those games, he would be extremely popular this week. He's just 3,100. If you're looking for, you know, cost savings with some guys who you probably don't want to use because you think they're in a timeshare, they're all playing more snaps and they're all in pretty good spots this week.
You guys want to talk DST? I don't, but we probably should.
Yeah, I guess we probably should. Are you guys going to take the plunge and play the Cardinals at 1,500 on DK?
Against Jimmy G? Maybe. I mean, he almost threw five interceptions last week.
If he's without George Kittle and Emmanuel Sanders, I mean, but the Cardinals are so, they're so bad.
It doesn't, defenses, it's so volatile that I think you could literally take a zero at defense this week and probably, you know, if it gets you the skill position players, I think you're okay with it. And you can't really project a zero for any defense. I don't think I'm going to be playing.
You can't do that on FanDuel, though, guys. It's so hard.
Yeah, DraftKings is fun. I think you got a couple of good ones. You got the Saints at Tampa Bay against Jameis Winston at 2,900. I know there's going to be some points, but, I mean, Winston does some dumb things with the ball.
With no Lattimore, I can't do. I believe me, I would have been on that one.
Yeah, I know that one. If you want to get a little off the wall, I don't even know if it's off the wall, the Redskins at 2,800 against the Jets, you know, at home, I think you could go to that one.
I almost think that's going to be the most popular play.
Yeah, you got the Vikings at 34 at home. If you have a little bit of extra money, you can get a little weird at defense this week.
Yeah, on DraftKings, there's a lot of options. On FanDuel, not so much. You can spend up for Minnesota. You can go down and get Carolina. I mean, Matt Ryan has been good in terms of fantasy production, but he's also helped opposing defenses quite a bit with a lot of turnovers. This is going to be a shootout game. Carolina's going to be playing from ahead, so Matt Ryan's probably going to throw the ball 40 times. And you might think, well, yeah, that means Atlanta's going to pile up the points, right? Well, sure, but it also means he's more likely to throw interceptions and get sacks. So I'm leaning right now Carolina at 3,700. I mean, you could go with Miami against Josh Allen. Miami's been playing pretty good. I don't want to do it.
Tying myself to Miami's
3,600 on FanDuel. That's about as cheap as you're going to find.
Yeah, that's fine. I think the Vikings are probably going to be the popular defense at 3,400. Big home favorites on DraftKings. We have a 5% ownership projection. I'll take the over on that pretty easily. You know, you can fit in, you know, some pretty good running backs to them. You know, you could make your lineup work, I think, if you wanted to play a good defense this week. And if not, I mean, I don't hate playing the Cardinals at 1.5K just to get you as much salary as you can. And who knows what can happen. I like Arizona to keep that game competitive. I don't think they're going to really stop San Francisco's offense, but I think their offense is really starting to click right now.
All right, guys, let's circle back around and go GPP. So we're going to stay at the DST position tags. Why don't you give us a team that you think could have a surprise game that's going to be low owned?
I think that people will stop at the Vikings. I'll go up to the Bills at 3,800 against Miami. We were playing teams against Miami a lot, and I don't know why that stopped, but
I think they'll still probably be 10% owned.
They might, but I don't know.
I mean, regardless, this is a team that can help you win a GPP.
Because, like me personally, I'd rather play the Vikings. I think the Vikings at 3,400 at cheaper price. That's why I figured people would go there. But that's
people will stop at the Vikings, and I'm going to sort of piggyback on that too. I'm going on the in between. I'm going to take the Cowboys. I like Jeff Driscoll, but I mean, dude's not really good. And if you can get some turnovers, you know, I could play the Cowboys at 3,600 pretty easily.
I'm going with Oakland, guys. Going up against Ryan Finley, who just looked so bad last week. I mean, Oakland's pretty expensive, which is going to mean nobody's going to use him, but I think there's a chance that they get in the end zone.
It's not a bad play. I actually don't mind that one. They've generated some pressure, too, like that Oakland defense outside of games against Indianapolis and Minnesota, who have two of the better offensive lines in football. I mean, I don't have an issue with that.
All right, guys, tight end for GPP. Give me name tags.
I mean, Goddard and Howard were on my list of the guys that I was going to mention.
We have been on fire with tight ends for GPP. Like, we hate doing it, yeah. But Hollister and then OJ Howard in back-to-back weeks. Let's keep it going, man.
Yeah. I mean, Britt already talked about Goddard and the fact that, you know, if Zach Ertz, for whatever reason, is shadowed by if they put Stephon Gilmore on him and then put McCourty on Jeffrey, that's going to leave Goddard as someone that would benefit because, as we know, Nelson Agholor doesn't do anything. Goddard at 32, he makes sense. And Howard, there's still recency bias, man. People are still like, oh, Howard still sucks. I'm not playing that guy. And I mentioned earlier is that, you know, with the loss of Marshawn Lattimore, there is so many moving parts and it's like a butterfly effect that happens to that defense. All of a sudden, Mike Evans is going to be a real problem for them. Chris Godwin was a massive problem for the Saints the last time they played, scored multiple touchdowns, had his second biggest game of the year. And it's like now all of a sudden, OJ Howard's in the background. He's background noise to teams. And a guy that's that athletic at 3,600 that can break an 80-yard touchdown playing for a quarterback in a game that we're projecting over 50 points, yeah.
All right, Britt, who do you see at the tight end position?
So just because salary, you guys are going to think this isn't a tournament play, but you just don't have a lot of salary this week, which means if you play Mark Andrews, you're not really not holding hands with too many other people out there, especially if you play him in non-Lamar Jackson lineups. So if you're looking to get a little different, it forces the rest of your tournament team to be a little contrarian too, which is, you don't want to get too contrarian even in the largest of fields, but just doing something a little bit different, especially in a non-Lamar Jackson team. I think Andrews is going to be almost virtually unowned on DraftKings, and I think he's pretty easily projectable as the highest scoring tight end on the slate. So I think looking at him seems good. And I'll go back to my Irv Smith, Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, that was my call, baby.
Yeah, you can play Dwelly. You can play Howard. You can actually shot take, I think, on a lot of different tight ends this week. It hasn't really been that way all season. But I think, I really think at tight end, if you're trying to get different and you want to have a really good expectation, sure, you can't play Christian McCaffrey. And sure, you might not be able to play Michael Thomas. But you can plug in Mark Andrews and, 10 receptions for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns could be looking right at you.
I just want to mention with Irv Smith, back-to-back games with 6 targets, not a good matchup against Denver, but we know Chris Harris Jr. is going to be shadowing Stephon Diggs, and I think that might open up a chance for Irv Smith to get a few extra targets. And this is a guy who can take one to the house.
He has a really good projection system on RotoGrinders. He has Irv Smith as the 6th highest scoring tight end right now.
Holy cow, I love to hear that. Now, I want to go back to what you said about Mark Andrews and how you don't want to get too cute and too contrarian. So we get people asking this question all the time. How many contrarian plays do you actually want to put in a GPP lineup? Britt, what have you seen has been the winning formula?
So, well, lucky I do this huge Millionaire Maker review article on RotoGrinders every couple of weeks for premium members over there. So what typically happens, it varies week to week, but you usually have... I think this year we're looking at the average top 10 lineup in the Millionaire Maker has 2.35% or owned less plays on that, like per lineup, right? So some will have none, some will have 4. But you really want to have some form of a low-owned play on every single one. You can equate this to FanDuel. You can do it to DraftKings. If you're playing a field of 100,000 people or something like that, if you make a lineup and it doesn't have a guy who you think's going to be 5% owned or less, you're probably making that large field tournament lineup wrong. And I could argue you might want 2 of those guys. The best combination is the low-owned quarterback that has the big game paired with his low-owned wide receiver that has a big game. That's basically a rocket ship up the leaderboards if you can hit that.
So is it very rarely a running back that's low-owned?
Yeah, so generally, like Brian Hill, right? You can just mash in the highest owned workhorse running backs are the most consistent. They give you plenty of upside, too. So if you ever were going to eat high ownership, you generally want to do that at the running back position.
Very interesting stuff. All right, guys, let's go to the wide receiver position. And I can't believe I didn't mention Calvin Ridley earlier as a cash game play going up against Carolina. I mean, I'm looking at my lineup right now. I've got 5 guys from this game.
I mean, you're attacking it. I don't think it's a bad game to attack. The worry is that it is a divisional game, and divisional games can be really screwy. But it is the first matchup between these two teams, and Bradbury has done a good job with Julio Jones. There was one game, if you go back to, I think it was Bradbury's first game against the Falcons, to be honest. That's when Julio Jones had his 300-yard game. And since that time, I want to say Jones, I think they've played each other 5 times, and Jones has not topped 17 PPR points. So Ridley could beat Jackson. Like, Dante Jackson is not the type of cornerback to handle Calvin Ridley. The question is, how many times they target him? I like Ridley. I think he's a good tournament play. He's on my list, actually.
Can't believe Julio Jones had 300 receiving yards in a single game.
That was so fun to watch. I remember that game.
That was amazing.
Yep.
Okay, who do you have at the wide receiver position, Brett?
So receivers, so when we're playing tournaments, you got to think about your receivers. Trying to pick a one-off receiver isn't how I think about it. It's more of your receivers paired with your quarterback on a stack and who looks good from the opposite game. Because what's really winning in these large field tournaments are our game stacks this year. So, you got, Nick Foles and DJ Chark and Dede Westbrook, and then you can run that back with, Jack Doyle or Eric Ebron or something like that. So my ownership in tournaments gets really skewed based off the, 5 to 8 quarterbacks I'd have in my player pool each week, because I'm just going to have a lot of those guys wide receivers. And when you're stacking 3 or 4 or 5 players from the same game into that, there's just not a lot of room left for a lot of the other receivers in your lineup. So some interesting ones, if you're getting a little contrarian, I think one that I like is Tom Brady this week. And I know we're supposed to save our stacks for a little later, but you don't really run on Philadelphia. I like Brady. You got Edelman is really low owned because who's going to play Julian Edelman when you can play Julio Jones or Mike Evans or Chris Godwin? You know, and you got Sanu and you got Dorsett's cheap too. So the low owned quarterback to the low owned wide receivers is extremely powerful in these large field tournaments. And I'm getting a little off the board. I like the Brady connection there.
That is so funny. We keep taking each other's picks. I had Sanu highlighted to talk about in this section with Tom Brady.
Well, so Sanu is the obvious one. Sanu will have a little bit of ownership this week. I think playing Dorsett or Edelman is the differentiator.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tags, what do you see?
Yeah, I had Dorsett on my list. I had Ridley on my list, so that's a good one. One that's a really going to be a really low-owned option, but I like Tre'Quan Smith at 3,800 in a tournament. He's a guy that jumped ahead of Ted Ginn in snaps, and he's playing the majority of them in the slot, which is a place that the Bucs have been absolutely hammered. They have MJ Stewart, a second-year cornerback who has allowed a 78% catch rate in his coverage, and he's allowed 7 touchdowns in his short career on 82 targets. Tre'Quan Smith at 3,800 makes a lot of sense. I liked Ginn last week, and unfortunately that didn't pan out. Ginn or Smith, I feel like one of them is going to have a big game, and Smith is the one playing more snaps in a favorable spot in the, you know, he could be like a pivot off of a Michael Thomas, a pivot off of a Jared Cook. I like him quite a bit, and if you're looking for like a bottom of the barrel guy, Kendrick Bourne, 3K.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Let me run down. So, you know, the 5% owned or less on our first ownership projection run. Just the quality of wide receivers that people simply aren't clicking on DraftKings for one reason or another. So we've got Philip Dorsett, Michael Gallup, Devontae Parker, that's a tough matchup, Julian Edelman, Cortland Sutton, Kenny Galladay, Will Fuller, Dede Westbrook, DJ Chark, Robbie Anderson, Jamison Crowder, Demaryius Thomas, Tre'Quan Smith, Kendrick Bourne, right? These are all guys that if you... Let's say you have a stack of another team and you just insert them in and they go off. I mean, having the sub 5% owned wide receiver that goes off is another sort of like big key. There's usually one or two of those every week. And it's, of course, it's very hard to predict that guy. But if you do, you are you're on your way up the leaderboard pretty easily. And wide receiver is always a position you should be looking to get contrarian at. I've been charting the bust rates of the three highest owned wide receivers every week on DraftKings. And I'm going to pose a question to you. How often this year has one of the three highest owned wide receivers each week not given even a reasonable GPP performance?
I will say 60% of the time.
I was going to say higher, 75.
It's about 80%. So this year we stink at picking the the high owned wide receivers.
That's why I'm not paying for Michael Thomas, even though he seems like a smash play.
He's not one of the highest owned wide receivers because he's so expensive. So
he's not?
Yeah, you actually have that working for you this week.
Oh, well, damn.
So a guy like Julio actually projects to be higher owned than him because he's 7,500 on DraftKings this week.
So what you're also kind of saying, like, you don't need the guy that's 0.3% owned, the Alex Erickson. It can just be someone who's overlooked.
Yeah, you don't want a bad player. You want a good player that just people aren't using because he's not in the 54-game total of the week.
Yeah, I also wanted to mention, now this isn't especially contrarian because he's always used in GPP contests, but Marquise Brown could have a huge, huge game against Houston.
He was the last name I had listed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Any other names either of you guys want to throw in before we move on to running back?
No. And real quick, I'm going to throw in, I forgot a tight end. TJ Hockenson, I don't think is a bad play. He's the one who's least affected by Driscoll.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. Now, running back, I say this every single week, but we don't need to change that much. I mean, just like Britt said, yeah, still use Brian Hill in your GPP lineups. I would put Leonard Fournette and Josh Jacobs, you know, in that mix as well. Obviously, I love them this week, but Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon, if he gets 30 touches again and sneaks into the end zone 2-3 times, nobody's going to use him, guys.
They're not going to just, like, surrender again, are they? I mean, I think they're going to maybe put up a little bit of a fight against Oakland.
Yeah, I'm not high on Mixon this week, and I know that, like, we talked about that on the show the other day, but I don't get it. I mean, like, I know he had 30 touches, but Oakland's been a tough run defense, too. It hasn't been a matchup to it. If he was playing his own team, if he was playing Cincinnati, I'd play him.
So let me give you my running back low-owned player of the week. You don't need low-owned running backs. If you make a tournament team and it's got Christian McCaffrey and Brian Hill and Josh Jacobs And as long as you're not playing the highest owned quarterback with the highest owned receiver stacks and the highest owned defense and the highest owned tight end with it, I mean, you could still do that at the running back position. It's the one position you can eat the high ownership. But one of the things I look for at running back, when you're looking for low owned plays, you want actual good running backs in spots maybe they disappointed last week or something like that, and they disappointed people who used them. So I got two for you this week. I got Marlon Mack going up against Jacksonville. He's going to be extremely low owned. You look at the offensive line of Indianapolis, a huge advantage against the Jacksonville defense. I've got some stuff pulled up in our Gridiron IQ. Indianapolis offense rushing success rate, sixth highest success rate in the league. Jacksonville is allowing the third highest success rate in the league. Expected points added on rushing plays, Indianapolis ninth highest. Jacksonville is allowing the sixth highest expected points added on rushing plays. Mack disappointed anybody who played him last time out. You got Brissett back. The offense is probably going to be clicking a little bit better. Mack did this multiple times last year. He's done it this year at low ownership. If he's going to be like 3% on, he's basically one of the first contrarian running back plays you should be looking at. And the other one I got for you is...
Don't take my guy, because I'm really excited about him.
Oh, it's definitely Devin Singletary for sure against Miami. So flop lag last week, we jammed him in at 30%. He stunk it up for us, and we're like, do I really want to play Devin Singletary again? And what a bum, right? He lost me my money last week. 6% ownership, maybe it creeps a little bit higher. He's 6K. Everyone's going to play Josh Jacobs. You know, you can play Mack, you can play Singletary. The guys that disappointed last week, they go into obscurity the next week, and that's what you really want to look for in these large field tournaments.
Tags, you have anyone else you want to add in? Because I know you're not taking my guy. I'll let you go first. You are going to be so mad when I bring him up.
Yeah, I talked about Kamara. That he's one of my favorite tournament plays. There's just so many other running backs that are going to have high ownership that Kamara is probably going to go a little bit under the radar. James White, this seems like a James White game. They shouldn't be able to run the ball very much against Philadelphia. White has provided a solid floor throughout the entire year, and it's like he hasn't quite hit that two touchdown game yet, and it's going to come at some point, just trying to find it. And in tournaments, that's what you do. And I think Miles Sanders at 4100 is the last one I would mention, because again, it's not a Jordan Howard game, because you know, it's just not. When they're underdogs, that's when Jordan Howard really struggles in terms of snaps and terms of touches and fantasy points. So Miles Sanders has some breakaway potential, and at 4100 he allows you to do some pretty nice things with your lineup.
But when a team is a 3.5 point favorite, that means there's about a 35-40% chance that they're going to be trailing during the game. And if Philadelphia has a lead, I'm telling you know what defense has been really bad against the run over the last month? The New England Patriots. Nobody is going to play Jordan Howard. And Jordan Howard's been really good lately. He's got some big games in his past as well. No one's going to play Jordan Howard against New England because they think, well, they're going to be trailing. This is a great defense. Hasn't been a great run defense. They might not be trailing. And so Jordan Howard could go off. Jordan Howard is, like I mentioned, I don't like to play these obscure guys in at the running back position at GPP. This week, yeah, I'm going to have some shares of Jordan Howard.
I got one more, and I want to get your guys' take on it. Ronald Jones, are we buying into, I think last week he caught more receptions in one game than he has since he started peewee football when he was like 8 years old combined, like his entire life, including practices?
I just don't want to use him against New Orleans because I can't see any running back having a big game against him.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, we don't want to use Kamara against Tampa Bay, but
yeah.
But is anyone buying into that this week?
He's a very good football player.
Bruce Arians did come out and like give him a vote of confidence and say, like, so it's basically saying it's something,
yeah,
that
then he fumbled.
Yeah, he did fumble, and that's what I'm saying. But Arians came out and said, you know, he's still learning his way in the passing game. There's still a ceiling there. He hasn't even done everything that you know that he can do. But I don't want to play him against the Saints, though. The Saints is like legit one of the worst. If Ronald Jones walks away from this game with 80 yards and a touchdown, that's a really, 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 really good game against the Saints, and that's not going to win you a tournament.
I sort of kind of think the same way. And Leonard Fournette, I know Bobby's all over him on FanDuel, but he's going to have low ownership on DraftKings of 10% or less. And, you know, when you get the every down, unquestioned workhorse and receiving back, you know, he's in a dome. You know, you get Nick Foles back, which I think is an upgrade for the offense. I mean, it is really hard to not take a couple shots on those guys in tournaments because they can, you know, Fournette, if he gets, imagine all the touchdown regression comes in one game, he's looking at 30-40 fantasy points.
All right, guys, GPP, we talked about Tom Brady. My next guy, I don't know how low he's going to be owned, maybe 5, 6, 7%. Jameis Winston against New Orleans with Lattimore banged up. I mean, Jameis Winston over the last 4 weeks, 54 pass attempts, 43, 44, 48. And with Lattimore banged up, this secondary is just not as good. He's got two of the best weapons in the NFL in Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. And I know that's not especially contrarian, but if you go Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they could really rack up the points.
I think there's so many options at quarterback this week. Winston's one of those guys that was on my list. I mean, Breeze can be played in tournaments. He's coming. Like, it's been a theme throughout the show here. Like, Britt's been talking about guys that flopped last week that could have lower ownership due to that. I think Breeze is one of those guys at 6,900.
I just hate how they use Taysom Hill. It annoys the snot out of me.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, just go back to a couple weeks ago before their bye week and Drew Brees is winning tournaments.
Yeah, you're right.
You have Josh Allen at 6,600. We talked about Matt Ryan before. I think Carson Wentz at 5,400. I'm not even opposed.
I like, give me Deshaun Watson. I think he's coming in at low ownership. I already mentioned Dak Prescott. I love Dak tournaments. I know you guys are on Zeke. I'm much more on the Dak train. I don't know if Zeke's really, I don't know, I'm not buying into this Dallas run game. I like the Dallas passing game. Dak has just been so good this year. I like him, but give me Watson. People are going to play Jackson. The thing with Watson, you can play, you know, you've got Fuller and Hopkins you can mix in there. You've got Fells as a touchdown possible machine at tight end. And the thing about Watson is it's very easy to run it back with a player from the opposite side and either Marquise Brown or Mark Andrews. And the game stacks are crushing this year. I mean, it's like an exponential increase in top lineups on what the game stacks of 3 and 4 man game stacks are compared to last year. So finding easy run it back options from the same game in tournaments are always something I look for. And you know where that volume is going in that Baltimore game.
You guys remember 2 weeks ago when Kyler Murray was really good against the 49ers, 23 fantasy points. He only threw 24 passes. If he throws 35, 40 this week, and he runs the ball 5, 6, 7, 10 times, I think Kyler Murray could go under the radar as well. And the other guy that I wanted to mention was Ryan Finley. I said Ryan Finley's terrible. He looked awful last week, but he also gets an Oakland secondary that is so bad.
If we're playing crappy quarterbacks, I'll take Driscoll. Driscoll's got actual targets in a dome.
Yeah, yeah.
And some rushing upside. That's pretty easy.
Hey, anybody else you want to throw in, Tags?
No. You guys have talked about enough bad quarterbacks.
Yes, we have. All right, let's go lock of the week. Britt, you get to go first. Who is your lock of the week for cash games?
How obvious is that? I mean, it's going to be Brian Hill, I think, is everyone's lock of the week, I think, specifically on DraftKings. He's the guy you probably start your lineup with. How you should approach cash games, your first thing is always, who is the running back that is cheap that, due to injury, has now 20 projected touches in a game? That's Brian Hill. He's the lock of the week for me on DraftKings. I would also highly recommend playing at least 60 to 80% of them in tournaments, if not simply clicking the lock button and playing him on all your tournament teams as well.
Absolutely. Yep, I was going to say Brian Hill, of course. Figured you would take him. Now, Tex, you have to use somebody besides Brian Hill. Who are you going with?
I will go...
You going Christian McCaffrey for the 8th straight week?
No, I'm not.
You can't be wrong if you say that.
Right, but I'm going to go with DJ Moore at 5,900.
Dang, man. I thought I was going to use DJ Moore. Okay, I'm going to go with Leonard Fournette on FanDuel, Josh Jacobs on DraftKings.
We did good, boys.
Yeah, let's do Stack of the Week. Why don't you just give us one, Brent?
I think, if you're looking to get a little different, you know, I tend to skew towards the really large field tournaments. I think those are where you're able to put a lot of strategy in. I mentioned Tom Brady, mix him up with Edelman, Sanu, and Dorsett. Mike like James White, I can get behind that as well. You got a couple of run backs in Goddard if you're looking for a cheap play, or Ertz or something like that. And I think that's a good way to get some leverage on the field. You can pile in some of the higher owned plays around that, and you got yourself a reasonable tournament team.
Tags, do you have one in mind?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the game stack as well. I'm gonna go over to the Bucks and the Saints game, and I'm gonna say that Drew Brees, along with Tre'Quan Smith, Michael Thomas, and come back on the other end and find a way to jam in Mike Evans.
I'm gonna go with Nick Foles, guys, just as a what if. I mean, we have no idea. We've seen him in this offense for what, 2 weeks? We have no idea what he's going to be. Now he's got weapons. DJ Chark, DD Westbrook. It would be a big surprise, but I think that there's a chance that he has a big game against Indianapolis.
I like it. It's great because he's low-owned. His targets are low-owned. The players you'd run it back from the other side are low-owned, and that is like the ultimate, if it works, right? You are just passing everybody. You're passing everybody in a tournament.
So you're saying I'm winning $1 million. All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Britt, it was a pleasure having you on. Thanks for taking the time.
No problem. Anytime. Just hit me up. I'm always willing.
Sounds great. Thank you. All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Manscaped. Hey, it's gift time, guys. Go out and get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANTASYPROS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code FANTASYPROS. And also Pristine Auction. You guys are going to love this site. There's so many values to find. I spend a lot of time out there looking for those values. And my office is full of stuff that came from Pristine Auction. Everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. You can trust Pristine Auction. It's Pristine Auction.com. And don't forget to sign up for that Dak Prescott signed helmet giveaway we have going on. Check it out at fantasypros.com/contest. And also, we've got our lineup optimizer for those DFS contests. If you want to mass enter, it is going to save you a ton of time. Check out fantasypros.com/optimizer. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
A chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.